Praise God. Morning, everyone. Hi, man. Praise God. I trust everybody's doing well. Amen. Today is July the 9th, 2023, and it's about 9:03 in the morning. Just want to welcome everyone today to the broadcast. Amen. And I have some things on my heart. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father, and bringing forth your word and your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you, the word and the spirit, they must agree. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this wonderful day, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the rain, Father. I thank you, Lord, for the warm sun. I thank you, Lord God, for taking care of us, Father, and for keeping up with your people, Father, all over the world, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you are a faithful shepherd, amen. You take care of your people, amen. I thank you, Lord God, for your presence right now, Father. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, amen. And I thank you, Lord God, for your kindness to your people. I thank you for your great grace that you've extended to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord God, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I thank you for this new creature, Lord. I thank you for our spirit, amen. I thank you, Lord God, that there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him life and gives him understanding. I bless you, Lord, for your faithfulness, and I love you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, I posted the outline for you guys if you want to follow along today, but I'm going to be covering some other things here. Praise God. And it's been an interesting few weeks. I took a little trip down to Monroe, Louisiana. Was it last week? Yep. And I got to meet some brothers and sisters there, I had a goal and a purpose in mind, amen. As the scripture talks about Paul, he was purposed in spirit, amen. And that's kind of how I felt, like I had a purpose in making that trip. And it was a nice time for me. It was a nice time of refreshing, amen. And like I said, I did get to meet some brothers and sisters there. And I'm just thankful for the Lord, amen, for blessing me as I went into the land and blessing me as I come home, amen. That's the word, amen. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the word, amen, is the goal of getting that word into our hearts, and how that the enemy, his goal is to keep the word out of our lives, right? How Jesus said that the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, that word life is the Greek word Zoe, all right? Eternal life wasn't about necessarily that we're going to live forever, although we are, whether you're with God or not with God, you see. The goal is that Jesus Christ was trying to bring to us an understanding of the life of God. The life of God. The scripture says in John 1:4, in him was life, the word is Zoe, and the Zoe, the life, was the light, the phos of man. It's the light that's our comprehension, revelation, or understanding, and that light comes from life, which is Zoe, you see. So it's important that we understand this, because that's the goal. Like I said, you know, as the scripture says in Psalm 8:5, what is man that you're mindful of him, or the son of man that you would visit him, all right, consider him. And then it says in the next verse that you made him a little lower than the angels. Well, the word angels is the Hebrew word Elohim. Elohim is the plurality of the Godhead. Where the scripture says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, let us is the word Elohim. So the scripture says, what is man? So you've made him a little lower than yourself. In other words, see, we are after the God kind, right? In spirit, soul, and body. We're not after God if we're not spirit, because God is a spirit. So, but what I'm trying to say is that we have to live after God, after our spirit. So Adam, like I said, he was a man that had the Spirit of God in him, and he was a man that didn't offend God, amen. He knew how to walk in his boundaries and stuff. The problem is when they stepped out and partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they died. In other words, they didn't die physically, they died because the breath of God was no longer a part of their lives, all right? So what I'm trying to say here is that life of God was... there's the very presence of God. It's what God is. And that life is in your spirit, man. And that spirit, man, what is man? Well, man is a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. You see? I was reading a book. I've been reading a little book. And it's an old book, TJ, what is it? Hold on a minute. T.S. Austin, I think, is the author. And he's already passed on. But he wrote a book called What is Man, right? And there's a couple of things in there that don't necessarily, you know, that I have a problem with it. But the point is that in the book, he makes light of the fact that, you know, the first thing that we need to start coming to understand is that man is a triune being, spirit, soul, and body. And you need to understand the distinction of each one. You need to understand how dangerous the soul is. You see, because when our lives are not having been with God, you see, we've been living our lives according to our circumstances, according to the way our parents trained us, according to different reactions and things that we've had through good and bad experiences in our lives as we've grown up. Well, you've got an individual that has never been trained or taught in the ways of God, never been trained in the kingdom of God, right? So, and that's a situation we come into when you meet someone and they don't know anything about God. And the two things that are always coming out, well, first of all, if it's someone from the world, I'll always start with the purpose of God. Do you realize you have a purpose in God? And that you're never going to find that purpose until you find God, you see? And then the other side is that when I meet someone that's born again or Christian, if you will, the first thing that starts coming forth out of my heart is the distinction of spirit and soul, you see? Because if we don't understand this distinction, you see, we're not going to ever understand whether if we're operating out of our soul or if we're operating out of our spirits. And obviously, we want to operate from that life of God. You see, we want to come forth from God. We don't want to come forth out of our own minds just because we know something or have been taught in a certain thing. It's got to be born of God. As Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, the rhemas, he said, the rhemas that I speak unto you, they are pneuma, breath, life, spirit, and they are pneuma and they are zoe, life of God. And that's how we need to, you know, as sons of God and daughters of God, that's what we're trying to do is get to that place where what comes out of our lips is coming forth out of our spirits. You see, the Bible says that whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. We see everything that's born of your spirit is of God. The distinction, like I said, with us in the world is that they don't have the breath of God. They don't have the life of God. Exodus, right? He said, wherein else shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that your presence goes with us? The life of God goes with us. You see, so shall we be separate. There's a distinction here between the Son of God, the daughters of God, after the kingdom versus the religious system versus the world. All right? And it's always going to be that way, right? It's always going to be that way in that we have to constantly keep this in our minds separated because we need to understand if we're coming forth from God or we're coming forth from ourselves. And like I said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, the cosmos, because that system, the cosmos systems, the Bible says that the God of this world is already judged. Everything about the system, you see, because they didn't receive Jesus, because they received not the Lord. So therefore, everything in the world is already judged. It already has a sentence of guilty, right? So therefore, we need to come into the Lord. Amen. We need to understand that you must be born again, first of all. And then after that, you must begin to pursue the Lord. I remember when I got born again, and it seemed like I couldn't get enough of God. Amen. I just kept pursuing God. I kept reading. I kept, you know, things that people would give me. Booklets, tapes to listen to. At that time, we didn't have CD-ROMs yet. It was cassette tapes. And it was just, like I said, a constant feeding program. I was so hungry for God, amen. And when I saw something in the Word and that whatever somebody was telling me wasn't right with the Word, I would immediately cast that aside and keep focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, keep focusing on the kingdom of God, pursuing God, amen, not looking back, amen. And as the Bible says, the scripture teaches us that he that looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Well, remember what Lot's wife did, right? She looked back. She looked back to that old life and everything that she had in that Sodom and Gomorrah situation, and the Bible says she was turned to a pillar of salt. In other words, she was pulverized, you see, because there was a lot of, there was some destruction going on, amen? There was a lot of flames and fire, and you know, if you know anything about atomic, right? I mean, everything that's in its path, it just pulverizes it. Well, that's kind of what happened to her because she looked back, right? Well, we don't want to be in that type of situation. We don't want to look back and the wonder years and what I've had in the past. We need to continue to looking forward, right? Grace, from grace to grace, 30, 1600-fold, all right? Living after the Lord from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory, from strength to strength to strength to strength. Amen? And but like I said, I never stopped pursuing God, and I still thank God and pursuing the Lord. Amen. I love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul. Amen. And I've gained some wisdom in my years as I've grown up in the Lord. And, you know, I've got to be wise. As the scripture says, you must be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Gentle in the fact that, you know, you got to know who you're entreating. Who are you giving it to? And don't cast your pearl before the swine, Brother Joseph. That's what Brother Jeff taught me. He said, you got to know when to deliver this word in season, amen. You've got to know these things by the Spirit, amen. And like I said, I've been reading this little booklet, and T.S. Austin, and I wanted to just kind of highlight a couple of scriptures here. So the scripture says is, what is man, right? That's Psalms 8, verse 5. I'm not going to go into too many of these because I really want to try to finish this outline, amen. It's 9:50 in the morning, so, and get on to the next portion, which will be the work of God. The will, the word, the way, the work. When Jesus said, our Father, amen, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, amen, thy will. So the first thing we want to understand is that the will of God is going to be accomplished by understanding the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. So what the word of God does, teaches it teaches you the way of God, how God operates, which is what we've been talking about now for, I think this will be the 9th time we met regarding the way of God. There's a lot in the word of God about the way of God versus the way of everything else, all right? And as the scripture says, there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, right? So, in other words, the end thereof are the ways of death because you're going to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You're not going to the tree of life, which is Christ, amen, which is where in him was life, Zoe, and the Zoe is the force of man, the light of man, the comprehension, revelation, understanding. You've got to keep coming back to the Lord. He's going to minister to you out of your spirit, man. He's going to drop it in your spirit, that word, as the scripture says, he that has been sent from God speaks the rhemas of God. You're going to sent from God in the purpose of the task that God is directing you in, you see. In that course, the words that are going to be coming out are rhemas, 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 all over the place, right? Word of God out of your spirit. So the Bible says that in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? This is the verses in Psalms chapter 8, verse 4. And then it says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Like I said, angels is Elohim, the plurality of the Godhead. You know, and, you know, the mystery of godliness, well, first of all, you know, one of the main understandings of that for us in the body of Christ today is that there must be a plurality of leadership. You see, it can't just be one man show, that one man has the final say-so. He's got to be able to check and balance against other brothers on his right and his left and so on, in order to make sure, obviously, that we're hearing from God, amen, in regards to the body of Christ and the direction that the fellowships are going in, you know, and so on. And but the point is here is that what is man, right? And the word man here is the word Enosh, man, mortal man, person or mankind, of an individual, man, mankind, mortal, hence a man. And so, in other words, what is mankind that you're mindful of him? All right. So again, I want to look at a couple things here. What is man, right? All right. Now, in Zechariah 12:1, the Bible says that the Lord formeth the spirit of man within him. Isn't that beautiful? God molded your spirit, amen, with the drive and the force of God that shapes you as an individual, your operations. The things that come forth out of your spirit are the things that give you life and understanding. Amen. The breath of God that comes forth. That very force of God, the life of God, shapes you, molds you, molded your spirit, man, to cause you to be the type of individual that you are. And that spirit, that life, breathes on your soul. But again, if we don't want to walk, you know, if we don't walk and get an opportunity to take advantage of discipleship in our lives, it should happen from the very get-go, right? As Paul said, you have many fathers, but not many instructors. You have many instructors, but not many fathers. We keep people born again, but we don't train them or teach them after that. We don't work with them, right? We don't do the fatherhood ministry. Amen. We don't take their lives into our lives and begin to work with them. All right. So we have the phrase, like I said, the Lord forms the spirit of man within him. So God is the one that formed your spirit. Amen. And so and it goes like this. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and formeth the spirit of man which is within him. God formed our spirits. Amen. What is man? Well, first of all, man is a spirit. Amen. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body, the shell, us, right? The tabernacle of God. All right, so what is man, right? Well, then the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, that the Father of spirits. You see, God is the one that generated you after the spirit, after the kind of Christ. All right, Jesus is the monogene, the only one of his kind, and God's desire is to raise up sons and daughters all over the world. Sons and daughters that will serve him and worship him in spirit and in truth. All right. And so, again, he is the Father of spirits. He's the one that generated us, you see. So as it says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Amen. You better understand that we need to be under authority. And that, the first of all, as the Bible says, God over Christ, Christ over man, man over woman. That is the order of God, amen, in the domestic realm. And now, if a woman is not married, then the body, the eldership is the one that she submits and refers to, and to get direction. But again, there's you know, if a woman's going to receive counsel from someone, a brother or sister, well, the eldership, there should always be someone there present with them, a woman, right? Like my wife, for example. But anyway. Like I said, shall we not much rather be in subjection? Well, subjection here is the Hebrew word, Greek word, all right, hupotasso, to arrange under, to subordinate. The Bible says that, you know, when Christ was in the temple ministering at 12 years old, he was a technon. It wasn't time for this. He was out of season. And the Bible says he submitted to his parents from that point on. Hupotasso is the word. He came under the orderly arrangement. He submitted to authority, in other words, is the point there. All right, now, let's see if I give you another one. And this one's in Mark chapter 2, verse 8. It says, and immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit, what is man? Man is a spirit, soul, and body. He perceived something in his spirit, amen. And what he perceived, the word perceived here is the word to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly. I started thinking about this. And meditating on this and how when we perceive something that is not of God, like I do it, you know, me, like I said, I have the grace of God, the charisma of my life, charisma of prophecy. I'm always seeing black and white. There's no distinction for me. All right. Now, when I there's a lot of times when I'll perceive something in my spirit, recognize something out of my spirit, man. And again, it comes through, you know, these understandings, these truths, amen, this truth of God in our spirit, what is man, that truth is from the life and from your relationship with the Father, amen. You see, when we grow up in the Lord, it's not something that we're trying to get to a place where we're going to figure out the work that we're trying to do. You see, because the desire is that Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. It's about love for the Father, love for the ways of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, baptizing them, training them, teaching them, getting understanding about the Spirit of God, the Son of God, the Father, amen. Understanding what these, what they do, what their distinction is, amen. And like I said, growing up, getting trained up, discipled in the ways of God's, you know, taking that word and meditating that word, fellowshipping the Father, thanking the Father for all the goodness that he's brought you into, and so on and so on and so on. Amen. All right. So he was perceived, he was thoroughly acquainted. He was to know upon some mark. In other words, Jesus saw something and already he knew in spirit. Isn't that interesting? Fully acquainted with, acknowledge. All right. And says, and so he already knew that these guys were arguing among themselves, and says, why do you reason among yourselves? Amen. So and so they reason, like they bring together different ideas and they bounce them off each other and get a different perspective and so on. That's what we do, right? And so like I said, and now this other one, let me show you this other one. Mark chapter 8, verse 12, and he sighed deeply in his spirit. There's a lot of times when I've experienced that in my life, and I see a situation, it just touches me to the core, amen. And my heart goes out to the situation, and I want to help, and I want to give to the situation. And then anyway, that's just a few things about, like I said, what is man. And I'm getting to a place now where I feel like God has directed me to begin a podcast. And I know that, you know, technically that's what I'm doing here, right? But I want to get it to where, you know, bring some brothers in, sisters in, and talk about what is mankind, right? And what is a woman, what is a man? You know, the world, obviously, you go to the world, and they're not going to make these distinctions. They're not going to tell you, you know, this is a woman, this is a man, because the world is all confused. Now, that reminds me of a scripture, and this is in Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. Listen to this, all right? The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. My goodness. Right there in the Word of God, amen. Easily understood. I mean, there's no... I mean, how else can you see that, right? And yet this world system, amen, with all its corruption, is involved in these things, and they're so open and so blatant about it. And it's getting to a place where it's enough, all right? And God and the people, even the people out there in the world, are starting to rebel against the ideas and the philosophies and the views. How dare you tell me what to give my children in respect to, you know, what they are and what God made them to be and so on. And people are starting to rise up against these crazy movements, right? Because it is a bunch of foolishness, right? How in the world can you sit there and tell my child he's supposed to be a man when he's a woman or vice versa? It's pretty sad, you know. So, and that leads me into the outline here, you know. So, Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Let's go to that verse. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees is what he told them at the end there. But the Bible says that in the meantime, where there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, apostolic principle here, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So in the meantime, right? So there was a mass of people collecting up, and the innumerable multitude is the Greek word morias, which means 10,000. A lot of people, man. They're getting ready to preach the kingdom of God to these guys, and the first thing Jesus says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. In other words, don't take a situation like this and figure out how you're going to market to it. That's what the hypocrisy was about, the leaven of the Pharisees. Don't sit there and figure out how to market to them, man. And so, again, it was a situation where, you know, he didn't want them obviously to focus and do it the way of the world. That's what the world does. You see, they figure out how to market. If you got a big situation going on, and they're going to put up their little booths, they're going to put up their little areas where they can sell you stuff. I mean, that's just the way the world does it. Well, he didn't want that, obviously, in the kingdom of God. Amen. And this is the leaven of the Pharisees. And so, anyway, the point is that that's not the way God trains his sons of God and his daughters. Amen. It's not about the money. It's about the people and bringing them to a place where they know how to be successful in the Lord. And the success of God is that you humble yourself. You see, it's totally opposite of the world, right? All right. So we know that the world, like I said, they're not interested in God. They don't want God. But the issue that has risen up is because they see the body of Christ, and why do I want to be like that? I mean, I could care less about all the stuff that's going on out there in relationship to my family and the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. And my focus is the people, right? And tell my people, make a difference, make a distinction in their lives. There's a scripture in Ezekiel 44:23. It says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between unclean and clean." See, this is what, you know, the Melchizedek order should be doing, is teaching the people always the distinction of what is not of God and what is God. What is clean, what is unclean, right? You know, it's not rocket science, right? I mean, you know, a man that's putting on woman's clothing or a woman that's putting on man's clothing, it doesn't look right, period. And it's not necessarily about the law of the word. It's about the spirit of the law. In other words, a desire to be obedient to God, amen, and love God and worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, amen. Now, let's see here. The way of the Lord's kingdom, amen. And we're now in section 9 of the outline, and that's where we're going to begin here. Praise God. So, one thing you need to be understanding about God is that Jesus taught us, right, go into all the world and make disciples, not just get people born again. It's easy to get people born again. The problem is that there's nobody there to continue to work with them. And I know my area and what God has graced me to do. All right. I don't talk to people too much about getting them born again, because I don't want to be disobedient to God's word and not train them and teach them and make a disciple out of them and so on. And the thing is that, you know, we're so muddled up with all this murkiness in our minds in the body of Christ about the work that they should be doing, right? That we can't even understand that, you know, just like a child that when it gets born into a family, he should have a father and a mother, and those parents care for that child until that child is ready to go out into his portion, right? We don't just have a baby and just leave him there and let him raise himself up, feed himself, clothe himself, clean himself, shelter himself, you know, drink water, food. That's not how it's done, right? Somebody's got to raise these babies, amen? All right. Now, the thing about making disciples is that it's going to always cost you a position, all right? It's not a glorious thing, all right? Nobody's giving you the thumbs up. Hey, you're doing a good job, you know. Let's look at this verse in Philippians 3. Now, we have to understand that, like I said, it's not about a glorious thing where you're going to get, you know, a lot of pats on your back. Verse 1 here, Philippians 3, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." All right? So apparently, he had already talked to him about these things. All right? He says, For we are the circumcision, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 3. And he did tell them, verse 2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, of those that are going to distract you from the way of God. Amen. All right, now Paul is talking about himself here and how he was separated from God. He was a circumcised the eighth day in verse 5. But in verse 7 he says, but what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things, verse 8, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So the point is that, you know, Paul lost everything in the eyes of all those around him that were, you know, his peers, you know, his scholars and so on. But he didn't, that wasn't his focus. His focus was about to get the Lord God in their lives and teach them, father them, train them, right? Now, the Bible says that Zacchaeus esteemed Jesus more than his position. It's another situation, Luke 19, 1 through 9, all right? And he esteemed Jesus Christ more than himself. Amen. Luke 19. And he sought to see Jesus. Verse 3. He was who he was and could not for the press because he was little. He was a little guy. The point is here is that Zacchaeus, he said, verse 5, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully, man. He was so happy. So full of joy that the Son of Man, the Son of God, amen, wanted to come to his house. Now, the point is here, too, that Zacchaeus, regardless of what it was going to cost him in reputation, didn't consider any of that. He only wanted Jesus Christ. He did not consider what it was going to do to his reputation to have Jesus come to his home. And verse 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, and this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Son, here's the word weos, fully matured. This guy is exemplifying the character of a son mature. Amen. And he understands that who he is. This is all by the Lord. All these blessings and things that we have is by the Father. Amen. It didn't come through your own workings. Verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Amen. Praise God. Now, Luke 5:27. Man, how can you not, you know, how can you not get welled up inside, man, seeing something like that? You know, the thing about the Word of God and even teaching the Word of God is that you better have a relationship with the Lord, amen. You better be getting from the Lord, amen, from heaven, amen, what you're bringing forth, you see. And after this, these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. You see, a disciple, and I didn't know I was doing this when I first came to know the Lord. It seems like I dropped everything. I only wanted to be with God. I wanted to learn about God. People would come over. My old friends came to the house. Hey, come on, Joseph. We got some smoke. We got beer. You know, we got some alcohol, whatever. And I told him, I can't, man. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ now. I had to cut myself off. See, I didn't realize that the Lord was sanctifying me, separate me unto himself, right? I didn't know, amen. I didn't realize that I was being separated unto the Lord, amen. You know, I remember when I was a young boy, we used to get picked up by this bus. It was called the Joy Bus. And it was this group that came from the Church of Christ, and they would pick all the kids up. And I remember, I must have been about 10 years old or so, and I just remember that these sisters had given me a Bible that they purchased and bought for me. And, you see, because I was always helping with the kids, you know, and I didn't realize what was happening in my life, and I know that at some point I received the Lord at that time, but I didn't know what it was about, right? But something came inside of my life at that point and began to light me. It was an ember, it was a small ember, but eventually when I got born again, when I was 18 years old, that light and that life of God started growing bigger and bigger in me, amen, and I couldn't deny it. Now, again, a discipleship, you know, coming into discipleship and learning, like I said, to make disciples and whatnot and come after the Lord and want to do what the Lord said is go into all the world and make disciples, it's going to cost you your reputation. You see, in Philippians 2:7, it says, he was no more important by worldly standards. So, Philippians 2:7, praise God. Philippians 2:7. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what we have to understand about the Lord Jesus is that he was Son of Man, Son of God. He was humanity and deity. Guess what, body of Christ? When you receive Jesus Christ into your lives, into your hearts, and your spirit, man, gets that breath of God, now you are Son of Man, Son of God. Now, it may not appear yet what you're going to be as you continue to grow in the Lord and the things that he brings you into. But the point is that Jesus was also Son of Man, Son of God. He was humanity and he was deity. Amen. And so again, it's going to cost you your reputation, amen. Because when you follow after the Lord Jesus, you're going to follow after the same pattern that he's already put forth. He made himself of no reputation. He wasn't interested in something for him. His only desire was the Father. His message was from the Father. The works were the works of the Father. You see, because he was living after his spirit, man. He wasn't coming after this thing so that I can figure out how to manipulate the people and get from them. And Matthew 5:10, persecution becomes your lot. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. That's a way of life, amen, to you know, I mean, when people hear somebody correcting them, they don't like that. I mean, now, I mean, as I said, I've grown up a little bit in the Lord, and I'm a lot wiser now, but the righteous indignation of the Lord at times will rise up in my heart. Now, the thing we have to understand too is that God doesn't choose the best and the smartest and the most wise. All right, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the dunamis, or the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world, age, aeon? All right? Where is the disputer? Hath God not chosen the wisdom of this world, made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by foolishness to preach, the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. So, again, God is only looking for somebody that's willing in their heart. If you be willing, the Bible says, and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. Amen. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken this. Now, 1 Corinthians 4, 6, a disciple is despised. Well, why are we going over that, Joseph? Because I want to, you know, what is man, right? Well, when God finished, you know, when God brings you to that place of maturity and you start walking in some of the things of God for your life, because he's constantly revealing himself, right, from glory to glory, from strength to strength, amen? And as you understand these things about what God is bringing you into, again, you're going to get to a place where your life is of no significance. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what matters, because from the crucified side, he became resurrected. You want to walk like the Lord Jesus, you're going to also have to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow him. You're going to have to be a disciple just like he was. He made himself of no reputation. He wasn't concerned about his ministry, his whatever, right? First Corinthians 4, 6, and these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, and no one of you be puffed up for one against another. You see? We don't want to be those type of people that walk in arrogance, all right? So, discipleship cost you your life. He was obedient unto death, Philippians 2, 8. He didn't consider his own life. And Luke 14, right, he says that you must take up your own cross. Luke 14, verse 27. Excuse me. Luke 14, 27. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, it's pretty obvious, I mean, what the Word of God teaches about these things. But, you know, I'm bringing this forth for those that don't know how to walk after the Lord and don't know the distinction of soul and spirit and don't know what it means, you know, what God is trying to do in strengthening you in spirit. And what God is trying to take you to, the Father, amen. He's got an inheritance for you. And nobody can take that inheritance away. But the problem is that if you don't come to maturity, he can't entrust that to you. It's in the will already. All right? Matthew 16, 25, you've got to lose your own soul. How do you lose your soul? Well, when it comes to a situation where it's your life versus God's life, we have to choose God's life in our lives. Amen. In Galatians 2:20, it says, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loves me and he gave himself for me. So just as he gave himself for you, you come to a place where you learn to give yourself for others. You become a servant, which is greater than all. He must increase, I must decrease, John 3:30. It's got to be the Lord above everything, you see. And he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. And speaking of the things of earth, he that cometh from heaven is above all. You see, coming forth from heaven is coming forth out of your spirit. This is the elevated place. This is the higher place. And but again, he must increase, I must decrease. Wow. All right. So I'm just going to, these are all in the outline, and you guys can, you know, go through these on your own. But in Luke 14, 26, it says, if anything or anyone comes before God, order of first things, he cannot be my disciple. Number two, if Luke 9:24, if he does not prefer his own soul, he cannot be. If he prefers his own life, he cannot be my disciple. If you make a choice for you first, you're not going to be his disciple. If you do not bear your own cross, Luke 14:27, you cannot be my disciple. You see, this is the way of the kingdom, is discipleship, training, training, training to get to a place where you learn how to manage the inheritance, your portion. Luke 9:59-62, if he does not follow Jesus, Lordship, it's not about Jesus just being our Savior. Yes, he also is your Lord, and he must become your Lord. You must give your life to the Lord. You cannot be his disciple if you don't submit to Jesus' authority. He is not your Savior only. Paul saw the revelation that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're not just the one that came to save me, but you're also the one that is my Lord and my Master. I belong to you. I've been purchased for a reason. I didn't get saved and born again just so that I could be for myself. I got saved and born again so I could learn how to serve in the kingdom under the authority of Jesus Christ. Luke 14:28, if you do not count the cost, you cannot be my disciple. Not what you already have, the assets, all right? Luke 14:33, if you do not forsake all, as the Bible says, set your affections on things above, Colossians 3:2-3, you cannot be his disciple. You must forsake all. If you not continue in my word, John 8:31-32, you cannot be my disciple. A son of God or daughter of God is constantly involved in the word of God. And the Holy Spirit is constantly illuminating in your spirit. And those words are constantly coming forth out of your spirit, man. Rhema spoken right out of your spirit. The word spoken out of your lips, amen, by what the Lord has been giving you and what you've been meditating on and so on. If you do not love one another, you cannot be my disciple. All right? You know, selfish in giving. In other words, give with no expectation to receive. Because your blessing comes from the Lord. Amen? All right, now, John 15:1-8, if it does not bear fruit, you must abide in the vine. You cannot be my disciples. All right? Praise God. All right, now let's go to Galatians 4:1-7. All right, now, Galatians 4:1-7. I want to read that. You know, it's so important. You know, the part of the purpose of me, I took a gift to someone when I went to Louisiana. And part of the purpose is because we've got to understand that, you know, these words in the Bible and the Greek words and the Hebrew words is so much more than just, you know, what we have an understanding in our English language. For example, there's 4 words for life. There's 2 words for doubt. There's 2 words for repent. There's 9 words for the word gift. And all of them have a different meaning. And that was my goal, is to give this brother this gift so that he could learn how to study the Bible. And not learn how to study, but I'm saying so he could see these words and get a greater understanding. Amen. Now I say, Galatians 4:1, that an heir, as long as he is a child, differed nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors. Amen. Submitted until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, when we were children, Napias, were in bondage under the elements of the world. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made of under the law, his weos. It's the weos that gets sent to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Amen. That we might come to that same place as Jesus and be adopted into this kingdom of God. Amen. And be trained and raised up by the Father to come into a place of your inheritance and your portion, what God needs you to be doing in this earth. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See, the Son of God is always crying, Father, Father. Always, always going to the Father. Father, if it be thy will. Amen. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see? The point is that, you know, yes, you are the one that's going to get the inheritance, but not as a child. You're going to receive the inheritance as a mature son or daughter of God. Amen. Now, And let's see, what time is it here? We got about 5 minutes. So I'm going to just cover the five stages of growth and development. All right. Now, I'm going to cover the five stages of growth and development. See, there's five Greek words in the scriptures, in the New Testament, that talk about where a person is in their maturity. All right. Spiritual maturity. The first one is napios. It's 14 times that word is used in Galatians 4:1-3, as it says, is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. 1 Corinthians 13:11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. Now all those words are the word napios, which means no speech. And then we have the next word, potion. This word is used 51 times. It's in 1 John 2:13, one of them. Potions know their father. See, they kind of begin acquainted with the Father because they're pursuing the Lord. They still make a lot of messes, all right, potty stage, but the point is they continue to follow God. 1 John 2:18, know the Antichrist, know the times to knowledge, to come to accountability. All right? 1 John 2:18, let me go read that one. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Little children is the word potion. All right. The technon, he's the teenager. 99 times, Jesus, John 1:12, the sons of God, to as many as received him, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God, rights and privileges and responsibilities. Romans 8:16-21, heirs and equal heirs, sharing benefits and responsibility. 1 Corinthians 4:14. Technons have to be warned a lot. All right. 1 Corinthians 4:14. Let's look at that one. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved technons, I warn you. Nuthetia is the word warn, which is where we get the word from nuthetic, to admonish, to warn, to exhort. It is the way of the kingdom of God to correct sons and daughters. And these technons, they're very ambitious. They have a lot of ideas and views and things they want to be involved in, but they don't check with the Lord many times. Now the weos, he's the fully matured, trustworthy. 382 times that word is used in the New Testament. Romans 8:19. All right, let's look at that. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the weos of God. All of creation is waiting for the sons of God to grow up. Amen. No longer servants. Galatians 4:6. No longer servants under tutors and governors. Galatians 4:6. I want to read that one. And because you are weos, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The sons always cry out to the Father. They want the purpose of God always in their lives. Hebrews 12:5-13, chastising, despise not chastening when they are corrected. Don't faint or rebuke. You must endure chastisement. And all these times where the scripture says, what son is he when the father doesn't correct? Are you bastards and not weos? What son, what weos is he when the father doesn't correct? All the sons get corrected. When you start coming into maturity, God, and you're tight and you're close with the Father, he gets into your life quite a bit. All right? Now, here's a couple of scriptures that talk about discipline. Proverbs 13:24, chasing him early. Proverbs 19:18, chasing him while there is hope. Correct your sons and daughters, even in the natural, you see. Stripes cleanse the inward parts, Proverbs 20:30. Train up a child, 22:6, Proverbs. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, Proverbs 22:15. Withhold not correction, Proverbs 23:13. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame, Proverbs 29:15. Correct thy son, and he'll give you rest. Proverbs 29:17. The rod for the fool's back. Proverbs 26:3. Now, all this, like I said, the sons of God have to understand that correction is part of the kingdom of God. It is the way of God. All right? Now let's talk about pater, father. 419 times of this word is used. Elder, father, wise, and gifted. 1 John 2:14. I have written unto you, paters, because you have known him that is from the beginning. You see, you have a relationship with the Father. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong. Because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. All right? You see, a pater, father, has overcome the wicked one. In other words, you know, they're not interested in their own reputation, their own lives. You can't tempt a dead man. Somebody that's dead walking, as the scripture says, we're always dying, all right? That person cannot be tempted, all right? He's not interested in himself. He only wants God. Now, a father exhorts, comforts, and charges his children. 1 Thessalonians 2:11. Amen. And we know how we exhort, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children. Technons. A father that loves his family, loves his children, is going to correct his children. Oh, man. And in 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul said here, I want to read this one. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is walking in maturity, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. All right? And then in verse 17, verse 15, for though we have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I didn't just raise you up and train you up on my own accord. There was a source, and the source was God, the gospel. Amen. The good news of the kingdom. Amen. The message of the kingdom of God. And Paul says here, you've got a lot of people that can instruct you, but how many fathers do you have? He's the one that was training and raising them. They needed to see this. They had to understand this. And even so, today, we need to understand this. Amen. And so the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, they are followers of those who, through faith and patience, inherit the promises. Faith and patience, amen. Constantly, constantly walking after the Lord, amen. All right. Well, I'm going to finish this outline, amen. Now, let's now go, talking about fathers, let's go look at Malachi chapter 4. Amen. Remember, this is the last book in the Old Testament. And the thing about this is that from that time on until John the Baptist was 400 years. Amen. John was a transitional voice. His voice transitioned out of the law into grace. Amen. And when his voice started coming forth, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, he was bringing the message of the kingdom of God. You've got to turn your way unto me, turn your lives unto me, and come into this maturity as a son or daughter of God so that I can bring you into your portion. It's a continual thing, right? It's as a under tutors and governors. You're going to constantly be managed and trained up until the appointed time. Now, behold, Malachi 4:5, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse. You see, right now, because the fathers' hearts are not turned to the children in the natural, the earth is cursed. You see, the sons of God, the daughters of God don't receive their significance. They grow up. They don't understand who they are. They think they're a woman. They think they're a man. And they're the other, you know, they're the opposite of that. They don't understand their purpose or their focus or their goal. They don't have significance of premium and value in their lives because they don't want to receive the Father. You see, the way of God. And so, and remember John the Baptist, they asked Jesus, is John the Baptist going to come? Is Elijah going to come? And he said, John the Baptist was Elijah. See, you have to understand the principle here. His voice is always speaking to the voice of the Father. He's trying to get you to the Father. Amen. Just like Jesus was. All right. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 16, it makes a reference to this passage in Malachi. Luke chapter 1, verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. What's the purpose? It's to get ready for the Lord. In other words, get ready in that place where the Lord Jesus can direct your life, whether by one individual or by many individuals in the local body. You see? To make ready for people prepared for the Lord. And how are we going to get there if we don't go through discipleship and training? Who would the Father give his inheritance to? John 3:35. Praise God. Wow. John 3:35. The Father loves the weos and has given all things into his hands. Who do you give the inheritance to? Who does the Father give the inheritance to? He gives it to the son or daughter that's grown up and matured. You see? Hebrews chapter 2, verse 6. What is man? I read that earlier in Psalms. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man, the weos of man, that thou should visit him? Visit is the word episkeptomai, to look upon, to inspect. Epi over scope. All right? Tight in your life. You see? And again, you know, mindful of the Son. Amen? In a certain place, testify saying, what is man that you're mindful of him? That you consider him? You remember him? I like the word zakar in the Hebrew, where it's to be remembered. Well, this word, this word here, mindful, is also now the Greek word mimnesko. It's the same word to be recalled, to remember. All right? You see, God made Zakar and Nekova, female, male and female. Male Zakar to remember him, always constantly to recall him, and then Nekova to be easily pierced, male and female. Amen. What is mankind? All right, now, verse 7, you made him a little lower than the angels. See, you made him lower than yourself, not lower than the angels, right? That's what the King James translated as. All right, and then 2:6, that you visit mankind, episkeptomai, all right? You take a tight inspection of his life, and you're always working with that son or daughter. You made him a little lower than yourself. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, praise God, man. I'm excited, amen. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. See, saith he, that thou makest all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. You better make it the way I'm telling you to make it, amen. You see? And again, these things serve as a shadow, an example, all right, of what God was purposed in Christ, and what he was trying to teach us by showing us the way, sonship. All right? Now, verse 8, Psalms chapter 8, 6, it talks about you've made him man to have dominion over all your works. Not suke, not soulish, but spiritual man. You see? A man after the Spirit. God is a spirit. A man seeking the Lord and the desire of the Lord. Amen. This is the man that will be entrusted to have dominion over all the works of God. But we see Jesus, verse 9, Hebrews 2, 9. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Thank God, amen. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, and the desire to be obedient to the Father, amen. This is why he did what he did, because he was obedient to the Father. All right. So, and now in verse 10, for it became him who for whom were all things and by whom were all things, in bringing many weas unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. If he's got to go through it, I've got to go through it as a son or daughter of God. This is the way of God. Amen. Verse 10, to make the captain of the salvation perfect through suffering. Amen. He passed all the tests, glory to God. All right, John 12, 32. Love this passage, boy. Because this is what we've got to do as sons or daughters of God. Just as a seed is dropped into the ground, just as Jesus Christ was dropped, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption. Amen. He was made sin to be sin. Verse 23. And Jesus answered, saying, the hour is come that the Son, the weas of man, should be glorified. You want to be glorified as a son or daughter of God? You got to do this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. You see, if you will walk as a son or daughter of God and seek to lose your own life, you'll bring forth much fruit after the Lord. Fruit that remains, glory to God. All right? Therefore, in verse 11 in Hebrews, chapter 2, 11, for both he that sanctifies, who's the one sanctifying us? The Word, Jesus. And they who are sanctified, amen, are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them his brethren. Jesus is our brother, body of Christ, but he's also our Lord, amen. Amen. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are the weas of God. This is what the Lord is trying to get us to, is to walk in maturity after the Spirit. Amen. Romans 8:28, all things work according to purpose, according to the will of God, right there. Romans 8:28, I want to look at that because a lot of times people misunderstand this. And the reason they do is because they look at it from a carnal perspective. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to purpose. His is italicized. Purpose. The desire of God is to bring you into the purpose of God. The purpose is the setting forth. Amen. Placing of it in view. Showbread. See, your life must be showbread. Your life must be a life that someone is able to take and eat of that life and partake of the Lord. Amen. The breaking of the bread. Amen. The breaking of the outer for the release of the inner. The setting forth a purpose, a proposal, an intention. The purpose of God. Amen. All right. Now, verse 30, Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and when we called them, he also justified, and when we justified them, he also glorified. You see, in Christ we're justified. In Christ we're glorified if we go the same path. A corn of wheat must fall into the ground and die. All right? Now, the creation, as I said earlier, the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. And then in verse 20 it says, for all the creature was made subject to vanity. Nobody chose this. A creation didn't choose to be subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same, who has subjected in hope. Praise God. You see, we didn't choose to do what Adam did, Adam and Eve. But thank God, God already had a plan, amen, a redemption plan through Jesus Christ. He cut them. He made them sheepskin. He covered them. He had to kill an animal to do this. Sheep. All right. Verse 8:29. All these are from Romans. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his weas, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. God's purpose was to raise up sons and daughters and bring them to maturity. And the way to come to maturity is through discipleship training. All right. And then verse 19, all of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the weos of God. You see, his divine power, 2 Peter 1:3. Now listen to this. According as his divine dunamis power has given unto us all things that pertain unto Zoe and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. See, he's already given all this to us, but we've got to go through the process. We've got to come into discipleship and be trained and raised up as sons and daughters in the Father's house. Amen. I want to read one last verse. This is in Ezekiel chapter 43. I think it's verse 10. Thou son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern that I've given you in the mount. Understand the pattern of what I've given you, says the Lord. You've got to come to a place, amen, where you begin to see after the Lord, not after a religious, organized religion. You see? And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof and the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof and all the forms thereof and all the ordinances thereof and all the forms thereof and all the laws thereof and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof and all the ordinances thereof and do them. This is the law of the house upon the top of the mountain. The whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. You see, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. You've got to pursue the Lord. You got to follow hard. I've been working on these videos now since in April 2018, and now it's July 2023, July the 9th. Amen. First portion was sincere milk of the word. Second part is let us go on unto perfection. Not for my own glory, but to educate and train the body of Christ. Amen. And I encourage you, body of Christ, start from the beginning, because these truths are progressive. Amen. You've got to get the foundation laid in your hearts. The foundation is Jesus Christ. This kingdom of God is the foundation of God. This kingdom of God is Jesus Christ. He is the pattern. He is the form. Amen. He's the fashion thereof, the going it thereof. He is the pattern. He is what we need to be looking at. Amen. I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the Zoe. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the purpose of coming to the Father, as the scripture says, back in Peter, he's given us all things. According as his divine dunamis has given unto us all things that pertain unto Zoe and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this precious time, Lord. I thank you for your precious word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, O God. I pray that you would work in the lives of every one of the brothers and sisters that partake of you, Lord God, that partake of the bread, amen, that partake of the life poured out, amen, the broken bread and the poured out wine, and that they would come to a place, Lord God, where they begin to want to pursue you hard and follow after you, Lord God, above all else, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for this precious time. I bless you and I give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit, entering into your flow. Let us worship. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations. For thy steadfast love is great, it is great. Keep